following production of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
The following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
Newton in the pocket, pressured and hit, and down he goes!
Von Miller!
He is devoured on the plate!
Von Miller!
Von Miller! The super defense!
The Denver Broncos are world champions.
Who cares?
It'll be interesting to see how Peyton handles this.
I'm going
to
drink a lot of Budweiser tonight.
What's the score?
Give me an F. Give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't matter.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Romo's got a run out and is hit in the back. Oh, he's hurt. He got bent in half, and Tony Romo's hurt.
Well, what do you think?
We'll go balls out with this.
We don't have time for all that.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
I only can control what I can control. I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Football's become soft. Football's become soft like our country has become soft.
Dad, I don't know what the hell catch is anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous.
T to the I to the LL to the Y to the ARD. What up, bitch? It's Tilly Art here.
He's gonna stick his knuckle in your asshole.
You like that?
That's gay.
Representing.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Duh.
My God, we already heard the football.
Take that, motherfucker.
And now, here's John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Everything I am is an illusion. Everything I am.
Amu Kamara knocks down the final ball carrier. That is Philip Dorsett. And the Jags are going to win it in Wembley Stadium.
Drew Brees embraces his teammates. Saints pouring onto the field. And this is the way you want to go home for a bye week in victory.
20, 10, 5, 2. Touchdown, Julio Jones. 12 catches. 3 Bills large for Quintoris Lopez Jones.
And the Rams are the most disrespected, underrated 3-1 team in the NFL and atop the NFC West.
Captain Munman hits Eli as he goes back to pass. Fires it. Intercepted. It is intercepted by Xavier Rhodes.
Final score, Minnesota 24, the New York Giants 10.
The Buffalo Bills pinned the first loss of the season on the New England Patriots. Patriots shut out at New England, 16-0.
Derek and a lob over the end zone for Crabtree. Did he get both feet down? Touchdown! Raiders!
Whoa,
Michael Crabtree did it again!
Oh, my.
His third touchdown of the game.
The Raiders are 3-1 to open the year.
Boy, you know, John, Michael Crabtree has come a long way since he first appeared in a cartoon of yours with Rex Ryan back in the day.
Yep, and so does Rex Ryan. He finally has beaten him since that day. That was the first time they played one another, was Ryan and Belichick, so I made that cartoon.
Yeah, he was Rex Ryan was 3-0. Anybody else want a piece of me? He said
right.
That's definitely one of my all-time favorite cartoons, you know, mocking the foghorn, leghorn, and the dog, and oh my God, that was a great one.
That was fun. If you want to see it, come and hit me on the Facebook page and ask me for the link, and I'll send it to you. Let me see. Oh, sugar, what was I going to say about that? Oh, Michael Crabtree is sitting on my fantasy football bench, and I still won last week, but he's sitting there.
Well, you got Julio Jones. Of course you won.
Well, I also have Odell Beckham, which, you know, it's one of those things that's like, when do I take him out of the game? When do I take him out of the game?
Well, we'll get to him. We'll get to him.
Right, we'll get
up
to him. But see, Crabtree, now here's what's interesting. There's a guy in our league, the Schmooze Elite, I believe his name is. He put out a trade offer. He needed a wide receiver. He had a big injury. He needed a wide receiver. He said he'd even trade a running back. Well, I, as has been well noted, am desperate for a running back. So I offered him Michael Crabtree for Matt Jones. And I never heard back from him. And on Wednesday, I canceled it. I said, you know what? That's too good of a deal for you to be sitting around waiting for.
Yeah,
so there.
Crabtree's on fire. All right, coming up.
The Crabtree's on fire.
Football isn't fun anymore, John.
I know, Tom. I don't have any fun.
Naked in Italy.
That's my favorite place.
This iPad sucks.
Yeah.
The hair plug addiction and a lot more. This is Bang Radio Hour number 279. I'm Tom. He's John. And John, first thing I got to do, I got to tell you this.
Okay. He's got to tell me this.
I love my wife. And here's why.
Okay.
Here's why. This is one of the many, many reasons. Wednesday evening, we're watching NFL Network. And right. Kurt Warner's on. He's talking about the Cardinals quarterback, Carson Palmer, missing the Thursday night game, which he did, against the 49ers. And Warner said it's a tough situation for Arizona because, quote, you don't want to drop to 1-4 at this point in the season, end quote. And my wife jumps up and says, at what other point in the season can you drop to 1-4?
Exactly. That was exactly what right through my head right then and there, Heather. Way to go. Virtual high five. That was pretty cool. I will say, though, Tom, that everybody can stop with their concern. Carson Palmer got a two-hour nap that day and was able to stay up and watch the entire football game.
Oh, really? Well, they didn't seem to miss Carson Palmer too much, so
it didn't make any difference. That game was fucking horrible. Oh my God, that game was a shit show, dude. Here's what I'm sitting there thinking while I'm watching that game. You know, all across the radio and everywhere I'm listening to sports, they're talking about the NFL ratings are down. Right? We've heard this, right? They're down. Yes. And I think about this while I sit there yawning through Phil fucking Sims miscalling a total shitfest of a game between two crappy-ass teams whose punters are going to have to go to the hospital for strained feet. That game was terrible. You want to know why the ratings are down? Because I'm serious. I think they've hit the oversaturation point. I think the tip is this Thursday night crap fest that they give us every week, dressed up in these banana suits that they make them wear. It's ridiculous. It fucks up everything, Tom. It fucks up fantasy football. It's Phil Sims. It fucks up our podcast. It definitely fucks with our podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. So and it sends people away because football on Thursday sucks. So your ratings are down. You've done it. You've just absolutely made. You have found a way to put too much football in front of America.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Did you watch any of that game last night?
I did. I watched a lot of it.
So did I, because, you know, I'm addicted to this shit.
Well, Dave, I don't know.
I'm going to sit there and watch it even if it is bad, going, God, can you believe how many times these things have punted?
You keep calling it a shit show, and I was, like, really enjoying watching David Johnson just run over them, man.
Because they can't stop anything.
David Johnson runs all over everybody.
David Johnson does run all over everybody, and then they would throw the ball. And I'm listening to Phil Sims go, you know, he's got such a strong arm, you're going to have overthrows. It's 30 feet over the guy's head. It's landing 40 yards downfield.
Ugh. The early ones were, man, but he does throw some bullets.
Dude, the main reason to watch most of these Thursday night football games, unless you're a fan of that team, is to hear the dumb shit Phil Sims says. To watch him take that stupid little telestrator and draw a play on his screen. Watch, you're going to see this happen over here, and none of it happens if the ball goes the complete opposite way.
Well, I'll tell you what, but here's what's going on in my house while we're watching this game, right? My wife, Heather, you know, she plays fantasy football. Seriously, yeah. She's very, very serious about it. And so is my son. And we're all in the same league together. This is our personal league, you know.
Right.
So they're playing each other this week.
Oh, well, see, that makes a difference. She can punch him.
Well, the thing about it is she's got Larry Fitzgerald. He's got David Johnson. So I'm having a blast because Fitzgerald catches a ball. He catches another one. Oh, he scores a touchdown. David Johnson running. Oh, he scores a touchdown. Larry Fitzgerald does it again, scores a touchdown. And then David Johnson does it. I'm like, oh, my God. These two, you know.
And that's meanwhile, over in my house, I'm going, God, the 49ers fucking stink.
Well, and then the guy I'm playing against has Carlos Hyde, and so I got pissed off when he scored.
Well, yeah, he's Mr. Garbage, isn't he? He's Mr. Garbage Man. He gets the fucking touchdowns when the game's way out of reach.
Yeah, but he's had a good year.
He got one early last night, though, didn't he?
I think it was the second half, but he's had a pretty good season. I mean, that game was close. I mean, for a while there, you know.
Yeah, and then I think it got to be around 8:35, and somebody kicked off, and that was that. It was fairly close going into the half because it was so bad. I mean, it was so bad. Neither one of them could figure out how to do anything. And second half, because, you know, third quarter came along and my eyes are shut and I got to get up early. So I went to bed and I saw the score this morning. I was like, damn, that really turned out some points. You know, last week he threw a touchdown against the Cowboys, and did I text it to you? I can't remember. I had a couple of beers.
Yes, you did. Yeah, and you know, they got up on Dallas 14-0 before Dallas came back and won that game.
Yeah, well, he had some nice passes. I will say that. In that game, he made some throws that weren't really spectacular in terms of what they did in terms of yardage. It was like a 15-yard pass up the seam to the tight end that was so picture-perfect, it was almost like it glided over him on a plate. It just fucking went straight to the guy's fingers. But then you see him last night, and you go, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you texted me, Bub Blaine.
Bub Blaine.
Bub Blaine.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Browns are not the most dangerous team in the NFL.
You stole my thunder.
Oh, sorry.
I was just about to say, John, the Browns look like anything but the most dangerous offense in the NFL.
On defense, they're terrible. They're absolutely awful. But on offense, they can run the football. They can run the goddamn football, and Terrell Pryor looks like he's legit.
Well, how come they can't win a football game?
Because the defense has to go back out there. And they fumbled for some stupid reason. I don't know. The Redskins, they were gashing the Redskins 11, 12 yards in a run. I couldn't figure out why they didn't just keep giving it to Isaiah Crowell. Just go ahead. You don't have to ever do anything else. But they put some schmo in there at like the 10-yard line. They were driving it right down the Redskins' throats. And they put some schmo in there, and he immediately fumbled.
Oh, yeah, that was Duke Johnson, right?
No, Duke Johnson was the next one that they did that with. They did it again like two series later.
All right. So first-year Browns coach Hugh Jackson. I feel like we say that every year. First-year Browns coach.
First-year Browns coach.
You are a factory of sadness.
Right.
That's right. You know, their coaching outfit, you know, their little sweater vests and shit, all have above the fucking breastplate it says, "Hello, my name is." It's sewn right in.
Oh, no. All right. So Hugh Jackson, the guy that our Eagles YouTube fan buddy
wanted
so badly.
Porker.
Eat that
Jesus
pussy.
Christ. Him. I don't even like to say his name.
Yeah, I know. I don't either. That's why I called him Eagles YouTube fan. But anyway, he wanted Hugh Jackson, and he did not want who he got. But here's what Hugh said. You know, what's the issue? What's going on?
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
Okay, well, you know, I guess that's all you can ask. Isn't that what we always say? Hey, as long as you try your very best, that's all anybody can ask for.
that's not a good speech in the locker room there, Hugh.
You know, you guys just did your darndest out there today. I'm real proud of you, sport. Let's say we go get some pizza.
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
As hard as they can, bless them. My goodness. They really are, Tom. I mean, they're putting their best foot forward every morning, getting up bright and early, chasing that woman. They're trying their darndest. You know what? Eat That Pussy wasn't really wanting Hugh Jackson. I just found out that the deli near his house sells a sandwich called the Hugh Jackson, and it's like 6 feet worth of frickin' bologna.
No, instead, he was very disappointed because they got
Doug fucking Peterson!
Right.
That's right. The delivery boy brought the wrong sandwich. The Doug Peterson has mustard on it.
He wanted Hugh Jackson, but Hugh went north.
Cleveland, my nigga. The fucking Browns.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. Terrell Pryor last week, he gets away with some shit. He reminds me of another big wide receiver that's who I used to call the most dangerous weapon in the NFL. But he's not anywhere near that level yet, but he does have a certain knack of getting his big fucking hands out and throwing somebody away from him just way far enough where the freaking referee can't see him. And then he makes a nice catch because he's, 6'5"?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I think he's legit as a number one wide receiver.
Well, he's going to have to be.
Yeah. I mean, they can run the ball and they can throw it to him. They can do that. You know, it's not like the Redskins' run defense sucks. Everybody knows that.
Wait, where are these five? Remember when we read the article about them being the most dangerous offense? Where are these other five wide receivers that they drafted? Where are these guys?
They're the covert ops team. That's what makes them so dangerous. You never know when they're going to strike.
All right.
They're all hiding behind the goalpost with fucking knives and shit.
All right. Did you want to talk about any other games before we get to the Giants and Vikings?
No, I just wanted to say that the Rams, dude, do they not realize what is on the line for their coach? I mean, this is it.
I
another
know.
Four wins, and he's got to come back.
I think this is your fault, John.
I know. I'm sorry.
You have been cheering for this, and you know they all listen to this show.
Well, I'm not like cheering for the man to lose. I want him to take his rightful place in history.
Well,
because this is a record that'll never be broken.
That means you're cheering for him to lose.
Well, I guess, yeah. Come on, Jeff. You can do it. You can do it. Nobody will ever break this record. Nobody will ever have a job in the NFL as long as it would take to have as many losses as him.
How many is it?
Oh, shit, I don't know. It's like 750. I'll have to go look it up. But he's just a hair above 500.
As a head coach, 750? There's no way. There is no... That's just not even possible, John.
He's got 157 losses.
Okay.
Right, which is what I said.
You said 750.
What?
Shut up. All right.
It seems like 750, though, doesn't it?
It's funny, man. You heard
it's
the
like
guy.
He's been coaching for 40 years.
The announcer from that game, he's like, the most disrespected 3-1 team in the NFL.
Well, they are. Shit, I can't get Todd Gurley to score me a fantasy point. It's like he's holding them all.
Yeah, that's it is what it is, John.
I know, it is what it is. Thankfully, Julio came out of his slump.
Holy crap, did he ever, man. That was an amazing performance. And what in the hell happened? You can't tell me that the Panthers' defense got that bad just because they lost Josh.
Well, you know, it does seem to be a bit of a correlation there. He was going off last week. And, you know, but we've seen this before, dude. We've seen this before. It's a movie called Titanic. We all know that at the end, they're going to go down. They're going to just go beneath the waves, and that's going to be the end of the Falcons. I refuse to get excited about this offense.
I will say this, that last year, Julio went off for a 175 against the Panthers with Josh.
Well, a 175 from Julio Jones is a regular day. 300 yards.
Well, come on.
I know. That's a ridiculous day.
That's stupid, man. And here you got Matt Ryan throwing for 500 yards.
Oh, I know. Dude, their offense, it's rolling. Remember I told you last year on the podcast, I said the next hot coaching prospect is going to be Kyle Shanahan. All right. However, like I said, we've seen this movie before. There's an iceberg out there. It's going to rip them apart right around week 10, and they're going to sink beneath the waves.
All right. I told you that offense was going to be on fire this year.
All right. Well, by the way, Jeff Fisher, 157 losses, chasing Tom Landry with 162 and Dan Reeves with 165. And what do they have in common, Tom? The Dallas Cowboys.
Yes. Both of them.
Well, one coached the other in the Super Bowl, and then one coached against the other in the Super Bowl. How's that?
You look around the league, and you look at the Walsh coaching tree that started in San Francisco. You know, I mean, hell, I think Belichick's got a tree now, you know.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. The only coaches that have a chance are alive. Tom Coughlin's got 150 losses. He could maybe catch him. Shanahan's got 138, but that's a lot of years to have to freaking play football.
Man.
So anyway, I'm done with the Rams.
You mean coach football?
Coach football, yeah, coach football. The Colonel might come back. That would be pretty cool. Just to pass up old Jeff.
Come on, Cleveland. I mean, my God, they haven't won a game yet, and what do they got now? Now they got to deal with Tom Brady.
I know.
Jesus.
See, Goodell saw the schedule and went, Jesus Christ, who? Connolly, you're fired!
Oh, man. I mean, what do the Browns do? They got to go against Brady.
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
Okay.
We don't know what we're doing out here. Let somebody help us.
Congratulations to your Redskins. Congratulations to my Cowboys, man. We just keep rolling. Look at that. Damn. Yeah.
Cowboys, you know, they got a real cheesy call on one of those roughing the passers in the second quarter that I thought really kind of, man, I'll tell you what, the 49ers were taking them to the woodshed for a little while there.
Yeah, they were up 14-0.
Yeah. Yeah. 14-0, and then they got 3 points going forward from there.
Well, get the Bengals this week down in Dallas.
That's right. That's right.
What do the Redskins got?
Oh shit! I forgot. Right off the top of my head, I forgot. God damn it! Oh, we go up. No, we go up to Baltimore. We go to the Ravens.
Oh,
that's why,
okay.
I forgot because
okay.
It's such a shitty place. No, I'm just kidding.
Surprised you're not going to that game.
No, I'm not going to go to that game. Go into the game. To me, to go to Baltimore is like, shit, 2.5-hour drive just the first to get there. So, screw it.
How far are you from the Redskins?
About an hour and a half.
Oh.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. Oh, so you're closer to the home game. 2 hours.
Oh, that's
2 hours from the Baltimore.
Okay.
With the traffic, it would take forever to get in and out of there. Yeah, fuck it. I've never been to a game at the Ravens Stadium, though.
So, haven't yet. Up there in Minnesota, where they're 4-0.
I know. Now, what the hell is that?
Is anybody else undefeated? I was
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's right, the Eagles.
Philadelphia, Minnesota. No, that's it. Philadelphia, Minnesota. That's it. Oh, and the Broncos. I knew there was.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Von Miller and the super defense.
Right.
Undefeated.
So anyway, Minnesota 4-0, smacked the Giants around. That was nice. They're now 2-2. And like you said, Odell Beckham, what do you have, 20-some yards?
He didn't have a very good night, and Eli Manning was terrified. They didn't know what the hell to do with that team.
I thought you were going to say terrible, but you said terrified, and both would have been correct. Of course, there it was, the interception at the end. That was fantastic. It was I got the same face. It was so great. I mean, come on.
The horn blowing.
It's just too good, man. Oh, yeah, that horn was out of control.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
Oh, I love it. That was great.
Look, in the first quarter, the first 12 plays that they ran, 9 of them went to running backs because they just couldn't get the ball anywhere else. They were trying everything they could, and they were all little dump-offs. And, 3 of them, Eli was so scared he threw the ball right into the goddamn ground, 3 times. Boom, boom, boom. He didn't know what to do.
Well, it would appear to me that the New York Giants have some offensive line issues this year.
Gosh, you think, Tom? Now, See, here's what I thought. They signed a bunch of high-dollar goddamn free agents and got a brand-new head coach. I thought that was supposed to solve everything.
Well, no.
Well, see, this is what I'd been led to believe by the media.
Well. Well, and I mean, they signed defensive players, and they are better on defense this year.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If you could eat a handful of shit or a handful of boogers, one of them's bound to be better.
What?
You follow what I'm saying?
I gotcha. All right. Well, anyway, the bigger story here for us is Odell Beckham, who's, John, he's going down that wrong path that I talked about on the last show. Okay.
The wrong path.
He is going down the path of the media is going to turn him into Terrell Owens.
But he already is, and he's worse. He's worse because he's not performing. All right? T.O. performed through all that shit.
He did. Well, it's one game. Just one game.
He's going to get thrown out of a game. How about that?
Well, and here, he wants to talk about that, about the calls against him and the officials and stuff.
It's just my fault. That's all I look at it as. It's my fault. Whatever you want to call it, I just have to understand. If I sneeze the wrong way, it'll be a flag. It'll be a fine. If I tie my shoe the wrong way, it might be a fine or a flag. It is what it is.
No, it is not. That's ridiculous. He's just, yeah.
Wait a minute. What if Jeff Triplett's doing the game? That motherfucker might call him for sneezing.
If he gets some on him, he probably would.
I don't even know if he even realizes that. Hey, that guy's got his shoe tied the wrong way. 10-yard penalty.
Now, John, whenever Dez would kind of lose it,
he doesn't lose it like that.
No, but T.O., let's talk about T.O. Whenever T.O. would, you know, have one of his temper tantrums or one of his fits or one of his...
When he would berate McNabb.
Let's call it an episode. Whenever T.O. would have one of his episodes. All right. He would get defended by whether it was Jerry or the coach, and it was usually Jerry. But right. I swear, you could probably go back somewhere and find Jerry or the coach, or whoever the coach might have been at that time, saying these exact same things about T.O. But this time it's Tom Coughlin talking about Odell Beckham. Listen to this.
He really believes that he's at his best at the top of his passion. He is so talented. I mean, there's really nothing he can't do.
Right.
I don't think there's anything the kid can't do. He's a good kid.
Well, it's
he's a team guy in the team room and everything else. It's just when he gets on the field, there's one thing, one way he knows to play.
And Coughlin also went on to say, and that's what he wanted out of him, and that's what the coach they have now said. He wants that passionate
you know, driven wide receiver.
I have created the ultimate monster, Tom. I have loosed him upon the NFL.
Colonel Coughlin.
He will destroy the sideline equipment without any aplomb. He will think nothing of anything when he goes out on the field and gets 15-yard penalty after 15-yard penalty. He will leave his mark upon the league by giving them all sorts of new reasons to throw penalty flags. Way to go, stupid! You even color your hair like a penalty flag.
Yeah, Bart Scott said he'd choke the shit out of Odell Beckham if he was on his team.
You know, the thing is, though, the media does, and he's given it to him, because as soon as they see that there's even the slightest thing, they make everything into a mountain.
Right.
There's been tirades and tantrums on the sidelines since there has been football. All right. It's just that now there's cameras everywhere, and I mean everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Except on Bill Belichick's opponent's sidelines. Wink, wink.
Well, he needs to go out and have fun, but of course he says football's not fun anymore.
Well, you know, how can it be fun for him? How can it be fun for him, Tom? He has to make sure he sneezes properly.
I got one more thing here from Odell Beckham for you.
All right.
And this is what he says he has to do.
I just control what I can control, and I can control myself. I can't control anything else but what I do.
Tune in next week for another case right out of control secret files.
I only can control what I can control. I only can, you know, control what I can control.
I just control what I can control, and I can control myself.
It's chaos, Tom. Chaos!
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
I think it's obvious. This season is the year that control has been lost. Chaos is reigning supreme.
Hello, Control Central. This is Agent 86.
Donald Trump's running for president. There's banners of Vladimir Putin hanging from bridges in New York City. And Odell Beckham can't sneeze without worrying about whether he's going to get flagged for it.
USA! USA! USA!
Even my dog liked that.
That's great. All right, let's move on to the Patriots blowout. 16-0. They lose to the Bills. Here is Ben Affleck walking into the lounge, and he's going to come in and ask about the Patriots game. It's in progress.
Hi there.
I'm Tiffany
Ashinsky,
Sports
Illustrated. Nice to meet you.
Cameras roll, please.
You have the scores of the football games on that thing, by any chance?
I do, and I don't know if you want me to tell you what it is.
Uh-oh.
Do you?
Well, yes, I do want you to tell me.
Buffalo's winning 16-0.
Buffalo's winning 16-0?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm sorry.
In the third quarter?
Fourth.
In the fourth?
Yeah.
Okay. Rex Ryan?
It's Ben Affleck. You got to love that, right? Because you don't like Ben Affleck.
Well, see, now he knows how the rest of us feel when he stands up at some podium and says, you know, I just made a really good movie. Who? Ben Affleck. Huh. Fuck.
First time I saw him was one of those after-school special things, a 30-minute movie where he was a high school football player, and he got hooked on steroids.
Man, you watched a lot of those.
He was doing steroids. He was a high school football player doing steroids. He was just, you know, in high school. And I just remember that was the first time I ever saw Ben Affleck.
Oh, my God. Last year you were telling us about the one you watched where the kid was, what the hell was it that it scared you off of something forever and ever and ever because of what this guy was doing?
Oh, Angel Dusted.
Oh, that's right.
But that was not a after school special. This wasn't either. I was joking about that. It was like on HBO or something. You can watch it. I think you can watch it on YouTube.
Oh my gosh.
I think you can watch it on YouTube. Anyway, all right. To continue with the Patriots, Tom Brady, what does he do during his time off? He goes over to Italy and gets naked, John.
Why not? That's what I do.
Well, the media asked him about it.
I thought I was in, you know, the private confines of where I was staying and on a vacation with my wife. You know, it's unfortunate in the world we live in, but, you know, obviously I have to be more aware of certain situations like that.
Got to be aware when your dong's out, John. You got to be aware.
Well, you know what? I do. He doesn't.
What?
Right? You know, Matthew McConaughey doesn't. I do.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
It means some people look much better without clothes on than other people. This dude's a freaking NFL quarterback, all right? So what? They got a picture of your dick. Look at you. You know, you're not a 53-year-old guy with a little paunch here, you know, a little dump over there. You know.
By the way, folks, this is the same thing that John told me when they got the pictures of Justin Bieber naked on vacation.
Well, I didn't say anything close to that. I did say something, though. You still haven't sent them to me. See, you know, your typical nudist, I guarantee you, him and his wife were there going, hey, where's all the other celebrities? Your typical nudist hasn't shaved anything in 30 years.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Ugh. All right. So, about the game, Bill Belichick, he had this to say.
We just said we just have to perform better, to coach better, we have to play better all three phases of the game. It's that way every week in the National Football League. You don't perform well, you don't do well.
That was actually from 2 years ago and also from 5 years ago. So, no, I'm kidding. Right. Yeah, actually, it wasn't. It was from after that game. Here, he'll elaborate.
We didn't do much of anything well enough to win today. So, just got to do a better job. Turn a page here. I think we're a better team than we showed today, but we just didn't do anything well enough today. So,
well, that's okay. Now you get Tom Brady back.
How are you feeling about getting Tom back? Do you feel like you can finally exhale?
I feel like we need to go out to Cleveland and play well in order to win. That's what we're going to try to do.
My fans seem to think that the suspensions, or hoping the suspension, will sort of inspire Tom and the rest of the team to play even harder with more intensity. What do you think about that? You think that could be?
I think our team needs to prepare well this week and go out and play well against Cleveland in Cleveland. That's what we need to do.
It's like a switch flips on in him, and he leaves. He goes out to lunch, and his freaking body just stands there and goes, we're looking at the next team, whoever that might be. They're looking pretty good. They got to prepare pretty hard.
We don't have time for all that.
Right.
You know, there's probably, you know how like places have like applause signs for shows and things like that. There ought to be a sign behind him that says, you ought to know better, while a guy is halfway through a question like that.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, these guys just, do they get new media guys in there every year who don't get it? I mean, some of these
obligated
guys.
They got
to
do it.
Obligated to do. I would go there and sit and record it and eat the free lunch. And because I used to go to Ohio State and do this. I'd go to their weekly press conference every, you know, with the head coach. Head coach is there. I got my recording device, I plug it in, and he comes out and he goes over everything, and then you can ask questions. And so I'd go to this every week, and you know, they always fed us nice lunch, you know, had buffet, it was great. Right. It was good, you know, you're meeting all the other sports broadcasting people and are there from the city, and it was always cool. I always enjoyed doing that. But if the coach was like that, I don't see any point to ask a question. I would want it, you know, where's my free food? Here, do your spiel and let me get out of here.
Right.
What's the point? You know it's going to go that way.
I know. But what you're going to end up with after like 3 weeks is nothing. They're going to hear the crickets and he's going to go, thank you for coming.
Right. Why even bother to have the press conference? Why bother to waste feeding the media? Why waste it? What's the point?
For one, the NFL makes them do it. For two, because they're Pats fans and they're winners, so they're going to read every goddamn word. Hey, did you hear what Belichick said yesterday? He said he's looking forward to Cleveland. Hot damn, we're going to kick their ass.
Yeah, here he'll elaborate on that, too.
Right now, our focus is on Cleveland. I'm trying to get ready to go in Cleveland. So we can't do anything about whatever it was or wasn't the last 4 weeks. We're into the Cleveland week, and that's all our focus is. Not worried about last week, not worried about next week, not worried about last year, worried about this week against Cleveland. That's it, period. This week, Cleveland.
Isn't that a net positive? I mean,
we're focused on Cleveland this week, period. Cleveland.
Wait, Bill, what are you trying to say?
We're focused on Cleveland this week, period.
What do you mean?
We're into the Cleveland week, and that's all our focus
is. Come on, you can give me more than that.
Worried about this week against Cleveland. That's it, period. This week, Cleveland.
That's it, period. This week, Cleveland.
Yeah, you ought to just start going C-L-E-B-E-L-A-N-D.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
I don't really care about, you know, some midterm grades.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
We should call him up.
Let's call him up.
Let's call up Belichick. I got to ask him about a few things, actually.
16 to nothing, man. Damn.
Hello.
Bill Belichick, John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour.
How you doing?
All right, how you doing? That was a pretty rough loss.
We're just looking forward to Cleveland. That's really what we're doing right now. We're looking forward to the home of Drew Carey, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Coach, stop. You know it's us, man. You don't have to deal with those idiots that you normally deal with.
Oh, isn't that a relief?
I want to ask you about something serious here. We just heard Tom Brady talking about being naked in Italy. Is this a distraction for the team?
Well, if there is, we employ a don't ask, don't tell policy around here. It's not really any of our business if anybody's distracted by Brady sunbathing naked. Now, his wife, on the other hand, she distracts me incredibly, and I was just hoping that those TMZ guys could go ahead and...
Coach! You know,
listen, let's not kid each other. Nobody's listening to you.
Coach, come on.
I can be myself, right?
Yep.
All right. She's very much a distraction.
All right. Well, obviously, I mean, what in the hell happened against the Bills? You got shut out 16-0.
You know what? I'll tell you something, Tom. I have not... Somebody was a technical snafu, first off. Some idiot clerk down in filing let my ownership certificate on that fat Rex Ryan idiot expire. We'll get that straight. But it was the worst cock blocking I've had ever since the last time my girlfriend's husband came home early.
Oh, my God.
Didn't like that at all.
Jeez.
Didn't like that at all. You know what? Getting shut out's just like that, Tom. You got to go home and jerk off.
Well, you know, the entire nation saw you slam that iPad down. What was that about?
Listen, I'm in a billion-dollar facility. You think I could get Pornhub out there? You think so? Huh? Listen, I need to see me some BBW. All right?
All right.
The game's not going well. I don't want to feel like talking like I'm yelling at everybody. I'm all mic'd up, so what am I going to do? I'm going to watch, you know, some teens or something.
Well, okay. What have you seen this Odell Beckham, this wide receiver from the Giants?
He's an idiot.
What would you do if he was on your team?
Wide receivers. Give me a break. Who needs him? Huh? Who needs him? Not me. I don't bother with him. Who did we have? We Dion, who gives a fuck, and Wes, what's his name? Seriously. We had Randy Moss for, what, a year, and then we sent him packing. Got what we needed out of him, and off he went. All right, what you need is a hot shit nudist quarterback with a supermodel wife and a big giant tight end that's just going to, well, I was just going to say you just get a tight end to kill people, but we had one of those, didn't we?
You did. You did, Coach.
So, oops. Jeez. Anyway, you get the gist. You get some big meathead who's been drinking hormone-blasted milk straight out of the cow for 20 years, and you throw his big lunk ass the ball. Simple.
All right,
not
Coach.
Rocket science.
Well, I'm sure you're going to bounce back. You get to play Cleveland this week, and I know that's all you're concerned about right now.
Well, yeah. So. Actually, I've been looking forward to that game since Roger Goodell opened his mouth.
All right. Well, good luck this week, Coach. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Oh, he is priceless, isn't he?
I tell you what, he doesn't come anywhere near my wife.
No.
Jesus, don't let him in your house.
Hey, just to get an idea what it's like to play for Belichick, there was a Twitter image sent out by ESPN, and it was a quote from Matt Castle, and he said, "In my rookie year, I got crushed in the back by a corner blitz against the Giants. We're playing them the next year in the last preseason game, and Belichick asks me, 'Castle, what front do they like to bring the corner blitz from?' He said, I had looked it up the night before, anticipating the question. I said, 'Coach, it's an over.' Belichick looks over at Tom Brady. He says, 'Brady?' Brady says, 'It's an under.' Belichick says, 'Brady's right. Look, I don't want to have to send your mother another note that says, Dear Mrs. Castle, I regret to inform you that your son got killed for being a dumbass.'"
Oh, see, now that's what we want to hear him talk to the media like.
Right.
Right? Right. Listen here, Castle. The only thing I want to be sending your mama is a dick pic. You understand?
Jesus.
Well, that's how you coach a winner, I guess.
Yeah. It seems to be working. It seems to work. So
apparently, I don't think Matt Castle's ever figured it out, though.
They win an awful lot of football games in New England. Jesus Christ. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, a hair plug addiction, John. I didn't know there ever was such a thing, but we got to talk about it.
Bang! Bang! By now, you've almost certainly seen them on TV, maybe even in person, as they stand bravely in the face of certain ridicule, knowing that everybody is watching. And no matter what they do, one out of every two people hate them. They're NFL referees.
The officiating this league is a damn disgrace. I'm sick of this crap with these officials.
Dedicated to their cause and oblivious to what's going on around them. Oh, what are you, blind ref? Come on! Join us in a new social movement dedicated to the professional referee. It's Black and White Lives Matter. Every dollar you donate will go toward getting laser vision correction for every NFL referee in the league. And then we'll start on the college guys, because apparently they can't see a damn thing either. Black and White Lives Matter. Blowing the whistle on incompetence.
VOTech.
VOTech. For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
I got an anonymous letter from a parent. Said, you know, we just kind of bummed out this year that the boys only get 2 weeks off before they start their summer conditioning program. You know, normally they get three. Well, we gave them a week at the start of the semester rather than at the end. But here's my point, okay? It's Division I football! It's the Big 12! It ain't intramurals! You got 2 weeks after finals, you got a week of July 4th, and you got a week before camp starts. That's a month! That's probably more vacation than you guys get! And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks? Go play intramurals, brother.
Hi, this is former Buckeye wide receiver Brian Hartline, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Griffin Oaks for the win. Here's the snap. Kick is on its way. It is good! And Indiana's beat Michigan State! Unbelievable!
And Clemson takes control of the Atlantic Division with a 42-36 win over Louisville here tonight. What a comeback.
Back to throw. Hornibrook's got time. Throws the ball deep. And it is... Is that intercepted?
Oh, my God.
Holy cow. Jordan Lewis just came up with a circus interception to close this one out. Put that one on a highlight reel.
Dobbs drops back, looks, loads up, fires long for the end zone. The pass is going to be caught by Tennessee.
Tennessee wins!
Caught it by Tennessee, Juwan Jennings. Jennings makes the catch in the end zone on the Hail Mary.
Tennessee, undefeated, ranked in the top 10, beating Florida and Georgia back-to-back. I can't even remember if they've done that in the past 20 years, beat those two teams back-to-back like that. And do it like that. They look like they got that whole Team of Destiny thing going on down there in Tennessee, John.
Well, yeah, but they got a spell. That interception was amazing.
I just those four games right there were fantastic. Yeah, man. Oh, God. Did you see any of the Wisconsin-Michigan game? 14-7?
I saw some of it, but I didn't really pay much attention to it. My Saturdays are just packed.
Well, what I saw in that game was two teams that are kind of slow. You know, we watched Wisconsin open up with a win over LSU, and now we've kind of come to find out LSU wasn't really that good, maybe.
Well,
I mean, they fired their coach and stuff, yeah. You know. And we saw... Well, then they beat the hell out of Michigan State. Well, mm-hmm. Then Michigan State turns around and loses to Indiana.
Right.
So, obviously, they're not that good. And then Wisconsin
here they are, top 10, playing Michigan top 10, and they go in and those two give us this great 14-7 football game. Meanwhile, right. The Buckeyes are averaging 57 points a game. They got the number one scoring defense in the country. They've got the fastest team I've ever seen in Ohio State history, and there's no way Wisconsin or Michigan State or anybody else in the Big Ten has a prayer at beating this team.
No, I don't know about that. Yeah, I think you might be onto something there. I hear that the annual argument as to whether or not they could beat the Browns is going on. They probably could because the Browns, you know, their wide receiver is the former quarterback.
No.
You know what I'm just waiting for college football? I want to see Jake Butt get drafted by an NFC team so I can hear Joe Buck have to say, "What do you think about Butt there, Troy?" We're going to go down to the sidelines to some chick for an update on Butt.
He is a hell of a tight end, man.
What do you think there, Troy? It looks like Butt's injured.
He is, I think he's probably the best player on the team.
Oh, yeah. I think it's clear, and I think that they're giving him star power, and it's not got anything to do with his name. I'm just going to make fun of it because I've got the, I'm like a 10-year-old.
That's what we do here. All right.
Butt scores a touchdown.
I was so disappointed in Louisville. I've seen every Louisville game this year. That offense was phenomenal. I mean, man, watching them against Florida State, watching them every week, but all of a sudden, man, Clemson's the real deal. And you know, we were going to see Houston play Louisville, but does Houston? I think I'm trying to remember if Houston plays Clemson, but Houston's still up in that. And I tell you, man, I don't know. I still think at the end of the day, it's going to be Ohio State and Alabama.
Oh, of course it should be. That's what it should be anyway. They might as well just stop everything now. I mean, really, when you get right down to it, those two teams so far are head and shoulders above everybody else, and anybody else that wants to argue about it just really doesn't have an argument. They're just arguing.
I am looking forward to seeing Tennessee play Alabama.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I just checked in on the baseball scores, and even though everybody knows this by now, Cleveland 6-0.
Winning?
Yes.
Awesome.
6-0.
Man. Yeah, they won the first game.
Yeah. Top of the 8th inning. Shit. Hell yeah, man. Knock those Red Sox around.
Shit, Toronto. Toronto went into Texas and whipped their ass in back-to-back games. Now they got to go back to Toronto and try to win 1 out of 3, and I don't think that I think they'll do it rather quickly.
I think so, too, and fuck them, because I'm a Baltimore Orioles fan, and Toronto ended our season, and fuck the Boston Red Sox. I hope the Cleveland Indians continue to sweep your ass out the door.
All right, and fuck talking about baseball. That's enough of that.
There's our baseball update. We gotta make like a little freaking audio thing for that. The Bag Radio Hour baseball update.
All right. Hey, you mentioned Joe Buck. You just brought up Joe Buck. You can't wait for him to say butt.
I just can't wait for him to talk about it with Troy when they're in the booth and they've got that close shot. I don't know if anybody's ever noticed before, but when they do those pregame shots and they're talking, they're about 3 inches away from each other. Honest to God, you need a breath mint there, Troy.
Well, the section called For the Win on USAtoday.com, which has become one of my favorite sports sections on the internet. This is by Charlotte Wilder. And it's about Joe Buck. She says, Fox Sports announcer Joe Buck took time off in 2011 due to a virus that affected the laryngeal nerve of his left vocal cord. Or so he said at the time. In an exclusive interview with Sports Illustrated, Buck reveals that the damage to his voice was actually due to complications from an elective hair replacement procedure. And he reveals that he was addicted to hair plugs. What in the hell? Are you kidding?
Hey, man, where can I get the good stuff? I need the real good, you know, honey blonde. Joe Buck, he's down in some back alley hair plug joint. He's on some dirty gurney laying there in some dirty sheet. Just come on. Give me some sideburns or something, man. Don't send me away with nothing.
Hold on now.
Wow.
Joe Buck is robbing liquor stores. Come on, man. I need my hair plugs.
Well, he's putting out his memoir, right? And the memoir is titled Lucky Bastard, My Life, My Dad, and the Things I'm Not Allowed to Say on TV.
I want to suck Troy's dick. I want him to go spoo all over my face. Oh, grab those hair plugs, Troy. This is why you listen to the Bang Radio Hour. You can't get this anywhere else.
I can't breathe.
Now you sound like Joe Buck.
I'll try. I'll try.
I can't breathe.
Listen, nobody wants to be looking down on a bald head. So give me the goddamn hair plugs, buddy. I'll tell you when I've had enough. You hear me? Joe Buck's got a dirty trench coat on. He's down underneath some street light. Hey, come on, man. I need one of those shitty, stupid-looking George Michael half-beards from 1988 where it looks like I haven't shaved in a day or so. What the hell's up with him?
My face hurts.
but you didn't get an infection from a hair plug that caused your left vocal cord to not work. I can't speak in rich dulcet stereo. Oh, no.
Wow. All right, wait a minute. Hold on. We got more.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so he explained his ordeal to Sports Illustrated's Richard Deitch.
Richard Deitch.
In an advance of the publication. So he said he was worried about losing his hair, you know, since he's a TV
broadcaster.
Well, because he's a TV broadcaster, and he often felt like it was contingent upon looks rather than skill. Well, I didn't know he had either. So, actually, I shouldn't say that. He is very good at his job.
Yeah, he's a pretty good broadcaster, that's for sure.
Baseball and football.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And that's all the good stuff I'm going to say about him. He's still a smarmy asshole.
Is he still in the booth with Troy during the playoffs? I don't think he is he?
Oh, I don't know. If he works for Fox, I'm sure he'll do baseball. But I don't think they have him yet. He'll probably do the championship series because the Nationals were on Fox Sports 1.
Right. Yeah, and then TBS has got games. TBS got the Indians on right now.
Yeah, well, not for much longer. That game's almost over.
He got his first replacement treatment in 1993, and from then on, he says he was hooked on it. And then, again, in 2011, during his eighth, this is his replacement procedure number eight, this is the eighth time he had it done, something went wrong, and Buck was unable to talk when he woke up.
Beep, beep, beep. He's flatlining. Oh my god. Somebody give me some fucking paddles or something. I don't know what to do with this junkie. You got John Travolta comes running in with that big needle from Pulp Fiction.
Oh, the adrenaline shot.
Right.
A doctor said it was nerve damage. Buck told the world it was a virus. Now Buck says, quote, I was lying. I think people bend the truth all the time, unfortunately. It was really for self-preservation and ego for me. As I look back, I gave partial truths. Where I lied was when I said the reason why. People would ask, why is your vocal cord paralyzed? I said it was a virus. I didn't say it was an elective procedure to add hair to the front of my head. It was embarrassing. There's an embarrassing element to that. I understand that.
Well, when you shake your head around like a douchebag as much as I do when you talk, you really need that big puffy thing in front there to catch everybody's attention.
Oh, man. He said any surgery done to improve one's looks is not really something someone wants to talk about. So it's very cathartic to get this out. There are a lot of people across the country, for as silly as this sounds.
He's crying. Tom, you got to read it while you're crying. It's cathartic. I know you're out there suffering, brother.
I would tell myself I needed to look younger. I needed to have thicker hair. I don't want to look older than I am.
I can't look so old.
The truth of it is that it was an ego thing, whether I was on TV or not.
And he said the reason that he was even allowed back on the air, it was even though his voice wasn't as strong, is because he was very close with Fox Sports and, you know, his relationship with his bosses. So he's, you know, and he's good at his job.
Yeah, he is good at his job, but I think it's funny that they would even take him off the air. What have you done to your hair, boy? My God, you look ridiculous. He got a little Billy Idol on the side over here. He's got some of that stuff hanging out over here. He's got to see what Tom Brady does. So he's got a little Bieber over here, and he's got a little bit of that back over here. His hair's all over the thing.
Don't tell him about the collagen injections in my dick.
Oh, that joke you dropped when talking about things he's not allowed to say on TV, man. That was the best one of the year so far, I think.
Lucky Bastard, that is a pretty apt title for his book, I'm sure.
All right, now I want to tell you something about Steve Young. He has a book. He's got a book coming out next week.
He also has hair plugs. Lots of them. Maybe he's the one that got Joe Buck.
Oh.
Let me introduce you to my friend Giarmo. He'll fix you right up.
Hey, first one's free, Mr. Buck.
Well, he's got a book coming out called QB, My Life Behind the Spiral.
Okay.
All right. And he says,
who wrote that title?
Listen to this. He says a referee made a proposition in the middle of a game. He said, I'm in the huddle when the head referee taps me on the shoulder. He says, can I talk to you for a second? This was during the game. He's going into the huddle.
Right.
Steve says he steps away from the huddle, and the guy talks about how his daughter goes to BYU where Steve went. And then the ref says, I'd like you to take her out.
You seem like such a nice boy. I told her I'd ask.
This is going on during a game?
Hey, can I talk to you for a second? Look, let me show you my pictures here. See? She's got nice titties.
Well, he says he didn't really know what to say, so he just asked what her name was, and he returned to the huddle. Later in the game, Steve was trying to, he's trying to make a comeback. He was hit hard, and he fumbled the ball, and it looked like he was going to lose the game, but then that referee threw a flag.
Right.
And he called a personal foul on the defense.
So that he would take out his daughter?
First down, Steve says he gets up and brushes himself off. The ref walks by him and whispers, she likes Italian food.
Ah, she must be a pig. I can't get rid of her for nothing. My God, she's eating me out of house and home.
But Steve never actually says, at least maybe we'll find out when the book comes out, but with what we've got so far, we don't know if he ever actually contacted the girl. I doubt it.
Shit, for throwing a game?
Yeah.
He better, she likes Italian food, and she says don't use her ears as a handle.
Hmm.
Seriously, that girl's got to be a dog ugly if he's doing that kind of shit just to get her out of the house. That's pretty. That would be earth shattering that a referee would do something like that. Not really. They'd freaking find some way to do it. They'd Roger Goodell would find some way to freaking justify it. Of course, he wasn't around back then.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing. And there weren't cameras everywhere. And this ref just, hey, can I talk to you? And taps him on the shoulder. He's in the huddle. He's in the damn huddle.
Right. Well, you know, I'm glad you said that instead of, look, you know, I got a lot riding on this game. And, you know, why don't you drop a pass or two?
Oh,
why don't
yeah.
you drop a fumble? Huh? Why don't you fuck something up?
Can you believe that? She likes Italian food. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. Now, see, what'll happen is, we'll find out in the book that it really isn't that much, you know. And she became my wife. It's a great story.
Bo Jackson.
Okay, Bo knows everything.
Bo, NFL, Major League Baseball.
He was the most dangerous player in the NFL, that's for damn sure.
He might have been the most dangerous player in sports, but he said if he could do it over, he would not have played football.
You know, I think a lot of them would say that if you ask them and they told the truth.
And he said, quote, if I had young kids, to be honest, and if they came and said, Dad, I want to play football, I'd smack them in the mouth.
Well, you know, you might as well start them off on that brain damage early, Bo.
He said, yeah, he just said if he'd have known then what he knows now, he would have just played baseball. He told a story about a time he got hit really hard behind the ear, And he went down, but he didn't want anyone to see he was hurt. So he got right back up and he went to sit down on the bench. He said, quote, right when my butt hit the bench, someone grabbed my arm and said, you're on the wrong side, motherfucker.
That's not, I mean, it's funny as hell, but man, see, this is, remember I've said this in the past. If you're an NFL fan, like I'm an NFL fan and you're an NFL fan, you've got to be able to reconcile that within yourself that you're watching this happen to people.
Man.
That's why they get paid a shitload of money. So he can say to his son, you don't need to play football to get out of the shitty life that my father left me in. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm trying to remember the running back that played for the Buckeyes, and then he played for the Vikings. And I was covering...
Robert Smith.
No, not that one. Graham. Oh, God. Scotty Graham. Okay.
Scotty Graham.
He was in town for a charity basketball game. There was a charity basketball tournament going on at Ohio State, and I was covering it, and I was there, and I got to meet Scotty, and I got involved. I was helping get stuff autographed for charity, for auctions, and all this, and then I look over, and there's Scotty sitting there, and he's got his young son sitting on his lap, and I said, are you going to play football? And Scotty goes, no, he's not. I played so he doesn't have to play.
Right.
I was like, wow, man, all these guys playing this game. But then you hear somebody like Deion Sanders say, we would have played this game for free. We get paid millions of dollars to play a child's game, and we'd play it for free. But then you hear other guys, you know, I guess it all depends on your experience in the league, you know?
I guess it does. And, well, Deion, for one, never had a serious injury, so that makes a lot for him. And he would say that, you know, that's why he didn't hit anybody, because it was a
right
business decision. But at the same time, I think a lot of players always have, you know, everybody's got buyer's remorse about certain things. But at the same time, if they manage their money properly, they're doing pretty well. By the way, a Scotty Graham is something that Joe Buck desperately wants to order for Troy.
Jesus.
1-800 Scotty Graham. Dress up like a construction worker. We'll meet you in the booth.
You know, we were talking about TV ratings. Well, for the foot earlier for the games. So we'll leave on this. The debate that happened on Monday night, the first debate between Hillary and Trump, that Monday night game had its lowest TV ratings in Monday night football history. Because I guess like it was like almost 90 million people watched the debate.
Right.
So, you know, I get it. But I'm oh, God, who was playing in that game?
Oh, it was Atlanta and
New Orleans,
the Saints.
New Orleans and Atlanta.
It was a shootout. It was a big time. Yeah, it was like 80 points in it.
Yeah, it was fun and exciting to watch. Now the next one's coming up on Sunday night, the town hall meeting debate between Hillary and Trump, and it's the Giants at the Packers. So this will be very interesting to see how the TV ratings go.
Yeah, New York's a big market.
And then the Packers, my God, you know, they're like the Cowboys and the Steelers. They got huge fan base. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. To see what happens with the TV ratings.
I thought you were
going to
say they got a bunch of drug abusers. Anyway. Yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I can guarantee you this. Somebody's going to be interrupting somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, it's a town hall. It'll be just like you and I doing this show.
I know. I'm sorry. My microphone's not working over here. Something's going wrong.
All right. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Bang, 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 bang. Here I come, bang.
You've been listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy, oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
I'm home.
Hi, Mum.
Wow, what's that?
saltwater supercars from Shell. Toy cars that run on salt water.
Science-fueled family fun. Fill up with £30 or more and you'll qualify to buy a car from just £3.99.
Track ready.
Check.
Saltwater ready.
Check.
Go!
Fill up on fun with saltwater supercars at Shell. Participating sites, conditions apply. See shell.co.uk/saltwatersupercars for details.
I'm getting strawberry notes.
And a flutter of sweetness.
Without adding sugar.
Clever.
It is.
Yasukis uses a lactose-reduced milk that enhances flavour without adding sugar or artificial sweeteners.
Mmm, milky deliciousness.
And packed full of goodness.
Very clever.
Strawberry Yazoo Kids supports change for life.
Yazoo, shake it up!
Contains naturally occurring sugars. Milk is a source of calcium, which is needed for the maintenance of normal bones.